Anybody like to say the prayer?
I'll do it, Brent. Am I muted?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Larry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning we're grateful for our blessings. We're grateful for our health and freedom. We're grateful for the opportunity to be part of Deer Springs Ranch and pray that we can be blessed today as we discuss the business of the ranch. We ask a blessing, Father, to be with any of our ranch family members who suffer illness or loss at this time. They may be comforted, and we pray for these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, you ready for roll call? Is Scott on?
I am not seeing Scott yet.
He's connecting right now.
And he was just sending emails.
Okay. Well, I saw 22.
I saw Scott, and then he did. Oh, yeah, he's here. It jumped up to a different position.
I think all the board members are here now.
Well, let's start with roll call. I'll start. I'm Brent Fulmer, lot 117.
Larry Clarkson, lot 76.
Michael Jordison, lot 67.
Kate Hoff, 83.
Kevin Poole, lot 64.
Bart Batista, lot 94.
Kurt Jacobson, lot 90.
And Scott Kohler, lot 15.
John Reed, lot 18.
Mike McNichols, lot 270.
Jeff and Tina Collins, lot 121.
Joan Smith, lot 269.
Brian Castle, lot 130.
Gary Clark, 144.
Joe and Candy Bose, lot 107.
Dan Wirt, 28 plus.
Vance Green, 156. Whoops, talked over somebody. Go ahead.
Bruce McQueen, lot 101.
Vance Green, 156.
I wasn't keeping track. Is that everybody?
I think we may be missing a couple, but if they just put their numbers on their profile and their name, they can click up by their name, the little dots, and rename themselves, and we'll have their lot number for Scott. I think we got most of them.
Okay. All right. We're going to – I've made an arbitrary decision. And we're going to follow what I'm going to call Brent's rules of order for these meetings. And that is everyone will get a chance to comment at the time an item is being discussed. No one will be put off till the end. I expect everyone to be respectful and stay on topic. But no one will be denied the opportunity to speak. So, well, okay, with that, I've made a minor change in the schedule here because Kurt asked to be able to go first. So, Kurt, go ahead with your manager's report.
Thank you. The brush hogging got done. That was a pretty involved process. Larry Clarkson, myself, thanks again, Brent, for the use of your water trailer and filling up the herbicides. We ended up using my Silverado to spray. It was right down to the wire, but it got completed everything that could be completed. Some areas have washes through them, and you just can't get a brush hog to them. And now we're waiting to hear from Brad Hunt on so he can get a bill from Norris Church. Norris Church ran into some problems, which was part of the delay. The drive line broke on his 30-foot brush hog. He sent it to Cedar City. They rebuilt him a new one that was several inches too short. And so, and then one of his gear heads went out, and he had to swap it over from the one that didn't have a drive line, but he got her. I'm working on...
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah.
This is Scott. Let me just add, I just talked to Brad this morning.
Thanks, Scott, too. Scott came out and sprayed, Director of Agriculture.
Brad finally heard from Lee. He's out of the country. He just got back into Florida. But 116 acres is what was finally mowed. They figured out through the GPS, and that they will be sending us a check for the $7,243 to Brad, and then he'll make a check out to us when he gets back next week. So that's the information I found out this morning, just to add to that. So thank
you. Awesome. So we're off the hook for that. Scott? We're off the hook for that then?
Well, anyway, that's where we're standing at this time. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if we know the bill from Norris is yet. So we,
Norris has been waiting on that number, so I'm assuming Scott got it to him.
Yes, I sent Norris a text this morning stating the acreage, so we'll hear from him shortly, I'm sure.
Good. I'm working on inventory for the ranch, trying to get organized things. Brent next weekend will be coming down, and we're going to start moving stuff out of the laundry facility behind the house and moving stuff from the linen room into the laundry facility so everything is in one place. It'll make housekeeping more efficient. And we'll be putting in the shelving that Michael Jordanson donated. And Scott Kohler also has donated a bunch of laminate that I can use to reshelf the shelves that Michael gave us. And so it'll be a simpler operation. And then I'll be taking the logs down this next week. Norris Church has a heated power washer, and I'm going to strip them and put the entrance up. And I've been learning reservations, which is it's something I'm starting to grasp pretty well, and it's just going to take time and doing reservations. And the weather up here, unlike last year, has been less snow, but it stayed consistently cold. And so the roads are staying pretty frozen during the day, which is really nice. That's all I got for you.
Has your water frozen again?
No, it has not. I don't know, maybe the night that it froze, it was 4 degrees in the morning. And I usually leave it on a drip when that happens. And I might have, you know, got a glass of water or something and turned it off. But the night before last, when I went to bed at 9 p.m., it was 1 degree at headquarters. And I left it at a lead pencil drizzle, and I had water the next morning. So I must have just shut it off that other night by mistake.
Okay, all right. I would just be a nosy.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, frozen pipes are not unusual, but they're rare, fortunately. So, of course, it has to happen on, you know, water testing day.
Oh, speaking of that, Danielle, did you get our the results on our water test?
I can answer that. They did come in. They passed, so we're good.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Is that all you have, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Hey,
thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Okay, Scott, the December meeting minutes.
All right. I sent out the meetings to the board and made a couple of additions and corrections. And I make the proposal that we accept the meetings as sent out. Do I have a second?
Did we get, I had just seen the messages back and forth about clarifying whether that we did not in fact take any official board vote on raising the dues. Yes. I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
That was clarified and changed on the minutes, and I changed it to say that at this time we made the decision not to raise the dues, but in the future, if we decide it's necessary, we'll be discussing that. Is how I changed it. So.
I don't see any problem to. I would second your motion to accept them.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? I take that it was voted unanimously. Thank you.
Hey, Michael, while we're on the minutes, I think we've got the two videos or the audio recordings for November and December, but we don't have November's written up on the website right now, so we'll hopefully we can get this one and November's written up there.
Yeah. I haven't done it. That's fine. I have this month's. I think I can find last month's. But, Scott, if you've got it handy, will you send it to me, and I'll make sure it gets put up?
Sure.
Sent to me first because we have to DocuSign them.
Yeah, we have to DocuSign. My problem, I've got the minutes, but I didn't have the template or the PDF file of all the things that you did, Michael, as far as the budget and that. I can take a picture of it and send it to her, but I don't have the PDF file of the final meeting. If you could send them to me, then I could send that to Danielle.
The PDF of the final budget?
Yeah, of the budgets and the actuals and what we come up with for the New Year and that.
Okay, so 2024 budget PDF.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's easy enough to come up with.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
And I'll send that to her, and we'll get the docu for that month and the docu signed for this month, and then I will send them on.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
If it's not before Monday, Vance will have to do it.
I can send you the minutes, and then you can you've already got the PDF file.
Okay.
So,
well, the PDF for the budget's already up there under financials and budgets.
Okay.
Does it need to be under the meeting minutes as well?
Well, I just said I would add them. That's part of the minutes is those. So,
it sounds like they put them all together and then DocuSign it.
Right.
That's fine. Okay.
Okay, I'll get that done. And I'll send those to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anybody have any questions of Scott? Okay, Michael, you're up.
Most of my month's been spent handling reservations, working through that process, a little bit with the Treasury stuff, kind of looked at the, you know, what Danielle sent out and kind of had the same questions with the negative amounts. Those are credits from 2023 for reservations. Other than that, I don't have too much more than that. The annual dues went out. Those have started flowing in already really quickly, so that's been good. Any questions for me?
Well, I neglected to mention one thing, and I should have brought it up when Kurt was there, but you mentioned it, and that is that Kurt is going to be taking over reservations, and you're going to start training him before you head to Egypt?
Yes. Yes, that's in process. We've had probably 4 hours worth of meetings already. Kevin Poole is also going to be backing that up and looking at the process, and he's attended those and will help out as being over the director of infrastructure.
Okay, thanks for the update.
Yep.
Hey, Brent, I think it'd be a good idea to thank Tina for her application and willingness to serve and all of that, and maybe give a little bit more information around, I think I'd like to thank Tina for her willingness to be able to do that as far as the board is concerned. So thanks, Tina.
Yeah, thanks, Tina.
We all appreciate it, and especially the fact that we're saving some money now. Okay, now we're going to go on to new old business, and we have a cabin committee report that Kathy Pierce was going to give, but I think she had to go to a funeral. So it's so Jeff Collins is going to make the report, and then Kevin and Larry, I'd like you guys to jump in when we discuss the walkthrough, and then anyone else on the cabin committee is welcome to comment on the things that they have accomplished so far. So Jeff, you're up.
Well, on my screen, it says Kathy is here, so.
Oh, well, then, Kathy, you're up.
If she wants to take it, she can. I have it printed out.
I think she wasn't going to be able to talk, but she was listening in.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, she emailed me basically her statement, so I'll just kind of read it. I think I'm going to cut out all the cabin lists of stuff. So it just says, Brent asked me to head steer this committee as I had made the suggestion to do a committee at the December board meeting to put analysis together with factual numbers to prevent raising of the dues and possibly of a minimal cabin fee increase. Brent and I discussed this should be a member-driven committee. The expenditures have significantly increased this last year. Our direction is to think outside the box with full transparency and ways to create savings, reduce our spending, and do the analysis, then present the board and the membership with recommendations. The committee and their areas to do analysis on specific items, but not limited to Kathy, secretary, heading the committee, savings and review, revenue, Dan Wirt, existing budget, membership usage, Karen Fry, savings and revenue, Jeff and Tina Collins, cabin inspections, Joe and Candy Bose, savings and revenue, Mike McNichols, repairs of cabin on a schedule, Tanisha Spore, RV park, Bruce McQueen, cabin operating expenses. Being this is member-driven, we encourage members for their input and ideas. An inspection was done on all the cabins on 12/18. Tina and I, Mike McNichols, Dan Wirt, Larry Clarkson, and Kevin Poole attended. It says, Jeff and Tina did a thorough inspection, and the inspection also included a list from Kevin Poole, and a professional inspection had also been done May 5th of 2019 by Tiffindale Real Estate Inspection Company. That inspection was paid for by Dale Clarkson and was $2,000. Noted are that a lot of items on our inspection and the inspection done 5 years ago are the same.
Jeff and Tina did their report, listed by cabin, including safety, repairs, maintenance, and upgrade remodel items, and prioritized the list. We as a committee have done the analysis for the inspection of the cabins and recommend to the board that these list of items should be completed prior to the opening of the cabins. These generalized items include, as priority for safety and maintenance, they are smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, check for leaks in propane lines, rodent problems, bird or rodent holes, decking. So a lot of the cabins' decking has issues, so they need to be secured, railings put on, posts, things like that. A lot of the sinks show signs of leaks in every single cabin. So a recommendation was to replace the metal traps and stuff with plastic. And uniform them in size from 1.5 to 1.25. Window screens. All the upper cabins window screens were replaced in 2000, but most of them are missing. And cabins 9 and 10 connect the cabin to the sonotubes brackets. They're not connected. And then there's a list, itemized list for each and every cabin. With a lot of stuff on it. And
Jeff, do you have a way to screen share that?
I don't. I don't know how. I'm lucky to get on Zoom at all, so I don't know how any of that works. But I can.
You can email it to anybody.
You can email it to anybody that wants it.
Well, we can just upload it to the website, too. I might be able to attach it in the notes or in the chat here, but I think putting it on the website as a report is probably going to be better.
Right. We could do that, too.
So back to the hydraulicking.
So, okay. So it says, so there was a big concern about the hydraulicking wall in cabin one. We went up and looked at it, put cameras in the wall, all kinds of different things. To come up with a plan, we discussed it with Brent, and then while we were doing the inspection, kind of discussed it a little bit with Larry, too, to come up with a fairly simple, cost-effective plan to get the earth off the building. And then, so we have a longer list that needs to be addressed. We're just addressing safety and pressing problems currently for the cabins. We're recommending that all renovations should be put on hold until unfinished projects and items are completed. Mike McNichols is tasked with working up a calendar to put a working plan to have items completed prior to the cabin's opening of the season. The RV pad investigation was given to Tanisha, and she's figured out $30 to $100 for nightly rental fees are common in the area, but they have amenities, including water, trash, sewer, laundry, bathrooms, showers. The discount for DSR RV pads for members that are volunteering or work campers to be free or discounted, which includes water and septic only. Mike McNichol suggested to do a one-year review on the RV rentals for members only. This would give us a baseline of members interested in using the RV pads. This will assist us in the future for next year for a reevaluation. The cabin committee members recommend to open two of the RV pads to rent to the members for $15 a night, with possibility to rent to non-members in the future after the first year. A 2023 cabin usage analysis was done by Dan Wirt, who spent about 40 hours to do this analysis. He has made his analysis available to members to see on the DSR Facebook pages also. The breakdown shows that approximately one-third of the membership uses cabins. Bruce McQueen did an operating expense breakdown for cabin expenses, and we're still working to put a plan together for this analysis. Joe, Candy, Karen, and Kathy are all working on ideas to bring revenue to the ranch, but also ways to save money with the cabins. Once we are able to work through these ideas, we will bring recommendations to the board. Our committee welcomes member ideas to bring to the committee as well. Our committee have many ideas for the work and plans to present to everyone. Volunteer programs, adopt-a-cabin programs, lottery systems, cabin expenses, cabin fees, and much more. And that's it.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Kevin or Larry, do you have anything to add to the actually, Kevin, Larry, or Dan, do you have anything to add to the walkthrough?
Yeah, I have a comment about this. During that walkthrough, we were able to identify significant problems with the long walls on cabins 9 and 10, which essentially expose the inner wall to the outside, and also cabin 6, where there is an opening to the water heater closet, which needs to have a door installed. And so I've actually already bought the door, steel door, for that problem on cabin 6 and the associated lumber to fix it. And so Kevin Poole and Mike McNichols and I will be doing that just as soon as the weather permits.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Kevin or Larry, do you have anything to add?
I want to just thank not only Jeff and Tina and Dan and Mike McNichols and Kevin for taking the time and spending the day doing the inspection. I think it was very informative for all of us. I was anticipating more disasters than we found, to be honest. There are definitely problems with every cabin, and I think the group and now Jeff and Tina have done an excellent job documenting that, and I think that's going to be super helpful for setting a schedule on how do we remedy each one of those items, and I think it will help any member look at that list and say, hey, I can do that, or I can help with that, and potentially we can get several other ranch members participating in some of the fix-up items. None of it is extremely technical or crazy. Even the cabin one hydraulic wall pushing after what Jeff and Tina and Brent did with the cameras and discovering, I think that problem is much less severe than we all initially imagined it could be. So that's not going to be a horrible fix, and I've already talked to Kevin Poole, and the plan is to not have to have the cabin out of service, get that taken care of so that cabin one, because it is one of the most popular cabins, have it online and usable under the normal openings for the season. I really am impressed and grateful for all of the people that have participated in the cabin / RV pad committee so far. I'm impressed with the potential ideas that are coming out of that, and I think it'll help the board move forward with making each of the cabins and the RV pads more accessible and usable for the members and a benefit to the ranch, and get a better handle on where our expenses go and what we need to do with it and what we potentially can do with it. And hopefully generate a little more cabin revenue, and hopefully that will alleviate some of the members' concerns that say, I don't use cabins, so I don't want to pay for cabins. Every one of us benefit from having cabin ownership, and I think this committee so far has been a super good thing. So I want to give a shout out to everybody that's participated so far and encourage anybody else to get involved and then read their reports and see if there's part of it that you can help with. If you've got an hour or a day or a weekend, I'm looking forward to a good 2024.
Okay, Larry, thanks. Kevin, do you have anything to add?
I really do. And like Larry, I would very much like to thank the committee for their time, their efforts, for the input. I very much look forward to seeing a lot of good ideas coming from the committee moving forward. There's a lot more here than I was kind of initially aware of with a broad overview and the number of people that are working on it. So between all those minds and the efforts, we should come up with some really good ideas moving forward. I think the walkthrough report, if you have not taken a look at it, you probably should. I think Kate has posted it. We can certainly email that. It's an eye-opener for everything that's going on with the cabins. It stands to highlight in stark contrast the need of repairs and things that are going on with the cabins and the budget deficiencies for doing the repairs. And that's not even including any remodeling, just repairs alone. There's things on there that may or may not have been noticed. I believe it's cabin one, I could be wrong, but it has like some of the sheet metal blown loose on the roof up there. That is something that someone is going to have to go up and deal with. I'm not a roofer and I'm not walking a 45 degree pitch. So that may be something to hire out. I know there's some roofers here on the ranch that we could probably tap to do that. But, the other thing that I would like to mention is a shout out and a great big thank you to a couple of guys, especially Dan Wirt. He's taken it upon himself to not only spend his time, but his own personal finance to assist in this project. And Mike McNichols for being willing to come out and pick up a hammer and a saw and whatever's needed to physically make some of these repairs. You know, that's the type of volunteerism that will actually move the needle on some of this stuff, is when we can have a few bucks in manpower, and that will make all the difference in the world. And I just want to let these guys know how much they're appreciated. Thank you.
Well, Kevin, I'd just like to add one more thing. I'm going to bring a big pipe wrench for you.
Is that it, Dan?
That's
okay,
it.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Anybody else have any questions on the cabin committee, what they're doing, or any other comments?
Well, I've got a go ahead.
From a reservation standpoint, were there any recommendations that we're acting on today with the RV paths? They are currently not available for anybody to select on the website.
So I thought we had voted back in November that we were going to open up two of the pads and leave one reserved. We didn't have a price, but these guys are recommending a price of 15. Is that, well, so I guess the board would need to decide if we accept that price of 15. Is that what you're saying, Mike?
That, yeah. I mean, you can't open them up without putting a price. I or Kurt or whoever is going to make the change would need to know which site is going to stay not reserved or, you know, unavailable. That was my question. Is there an action item for reservations to make those available, and at what cost?
So I make a motion that we start to rent out the two available sites, which two to be determined by Kurt and Kevin, but at a cost of $15 a night, but reserve the right to possibly change that fee or rate at a later time based off of further analysis.
All right. So is that rate, does that rate impact their
weekly
nights?
That's a good point.
Or is that just open to anybody for any amount of time all year long if they choose? And if there isn't a limit, or if there is a limit, what is the extended member rate? So they've gone over that limit and have to pay more. What is that rate?
That's a good point. I would, before I make another motion, I'd like to hear a little bit of discussion on that. But, I mean,
I think that at this point, without having any history of knowing what kind of requests or occupancy we may have, it's hard to say to limit it. If nobody else is requesting it, what's the point in kicking somebody off of them? But well, I don't want somebody camping on there for 6 months if other people would like to.
I think maybe we do a two-week limit and then revalidate that. My bigger question is, does that count against our cabin time?
I would say no.
Initially?
Yeah, it's, I would say no, too. It seems like they're different things.
Yeah. So
I would feel comfortable in adding to the motion or seconding a motion that contained opening RV rental space to members for $15 a night with a two-week, initially a two-week maximum, just to see where we go from there. We can always make a change if it becomes very apparent that we need to. And just for informational purposes, there's not a huge difference. RV pad 1, 2, or 3, they are a slightly different length. So somebody with a bigger rig may have a preference one side or the other, but all three will accommodate the biggest rig or the smallest rig. I don't know that there's a reason to say we're only going to offer 1 and 2 and not 3 or 2 and 3 and not 1. I would say we have 2 available. And
if the third was available, we were kind of open to – we just didn't want to prevent work campers in there. So maybe the reservationists, and we'll talk to Kurt on that, but we put all three on there, and as soon as the third one gets booked, if all three are booked at that time, let them know, hey, you run the risk if we have a work camper coming, then we'll boot you off. I don't know if that's the way that we can
– The smartest thing is, should there be a member that wants to be an RVer, sign up as a work camper and it's free. And
agreed.
The limited number of hours that you're going to have to donate to the ranch, I don't know.
Do any of the cabin people in your discussions, is there anything that you guys discussed that the board should be aware of?
About the free sites?
Yeah, about because you guys recommended a $15 fee, but any other recommendations that you guys came up with, like based on the discussion the board's having?
Well, the only thing was just to make it clear that that propane is not included. It's just water and sewer. But other than that, no, that's all that we came up with.
Okay, that is another good clarifying factor, that it's just water and sewer for the $15 a night, no propane, no electricity. So, Michael, is there a way for us to reflect that on the...
We can put notes out there, yes.
Okay. And how do you feel about opening up all three and letting the reservations kind of manage it based off of the... Is that doable on the website? Or is it better just to open up two for reservations for now and just...
The problem is with opening up all three, if you get a work camper in and people have already reserved a site, I mean, you could put a note on, say, site 1 that if a work camper signs up for an extended period of time that overlaps your reservation, you lose your reservation.
Well, but that's why we're paying for a reservationist, though, too, is to kind of coordinate some of those non-electronically coordinatable stuff right before they make the reservation.
We're so not paying for a reservationist.
Case. Well, that's the wrong volunteering reservationist position. That's what the reservationist is to handle to some extent, right?
Well, I think let's just list two available and
see where it goes. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to become a big issue or worry. No.
So the other thing on the time limit that I would like to maybe recommend would be following the BLM. You can do 14 days every 30 days.
I like that.
So if they wanted to come out for 2 weeks in May and 2 weeks in June and 2 weeks in July, so be it. But it's the same thing that you would get at the BLM or
any other campsite.
Any other campsite.
And let me jump in here on a couple of points with the work campers and the sites in general. The idea of having ranch members serve as work campers, like if they wanted to come out for a 2 week stay, the only issue is there's kind of a training involved. We could refine what those duties would look like and be able to incorporate that. I like that idea. It's a great idea. The other thing is, of those three sites, the one, if you're on the road looking at the three sites to the far right, it does have a little bit more privacy. There's some trees between the center site and the far right-hand site. I would recommend reserving that far right-hand site for the work campers. So if they are long term, they would have a little more privacy from the foliage there. Beyond that, the $15 a night seems like a good starting point. And, you know, as far as the time involved, the 2 weeks seems to be the standard. I would recommend staying with that standard and get a look at how this works. If they're highly popular, it might be a little difficult if there's one particular person that wants to roll in for multiple stays through the season and dominates it. So we'll just have to see how that works. Thank you.
Yeah, my concern with the 2 weeks the 14 days every month would be somebody basically blocking out the whole season, 2 weeks every month for the whole season, well in advance, and no one else can use it. And this is supposed to be used, be able to be enjoyed by as many members as possible. So that's, I think, we need to think about that.
I think if that happens, we can revisit this and go, wait, that wasn't the intent here. But I want them to be open and available if somebody wants them. I don't want to restrict, say, well, you're over your 14 days, or you do the extended rate.
If they're going to do 30 days in advance, is the earliest you can make the reservation.
I don't know if Firefly has that capability to do a rolling block out. And that was going to be my next question that we haven't addressed. Are these open year-round? Or are they only open during the cabin season?
Is water available year-round, or are we doing? They've got the
last discussion was yes, water is available year-round. So, I mean, there are a few. All these questions, I think the committee should bring back to us next month, and because I don't know that anybody's going to reserve it here in February. Over the next 30 days, they may. Maybe I'm wrong. But maybe these questions the committee could come back and answer and give us recommendations, and then we can vote on those specific recommendations instead of wasting everybody's time to discuss it now.
Hey, Michael, I'd like to add one comment that I hope the committee can consider when they're thinking about full season rentals of the RVs. I manage RVs at Best Friends, and we have rentals, and in the wintertime, we basically restrict water in the wintertime because many RVers leave the hose is connected and they freeze, and then we're having to fix water lines that freeze down into the actual distribution line, and it's a real pain in the butt. So that would be a consideration or a concern.
Understand. I mean, if we want to vote on it now,
I would. Yeah, I would agree with Bart entirely. I know Jeff and Tina have experience with the winter RVing. It's not it's all it's cracked up to be. If you're into sweating walls and frozen windows and having to kick your doors open, it's awesome. But I would highly recommend that in the worst of the winter, we close those down for the exact reason of freezing pipes and freezing water, and breaking those hydrants would not be a fun fix.
Yeah, this is Vance, 156. Can I jump in here?
Yes, please. Sure.
Before we do anything at the ranch in winter, the road's got to be plowed, people. That trumps everything you're talking about. Are we going to do that? Are we going to encourage people who are, let's just say it like it is, pretty dumb to drag trailers out to scoot and plow because we say we have RV spaces available in the wintertime? Okay? And I will stop, but you guys, you do need to talk about this, but this is probably not the venue. But, you know, people are crazy with lawyers. Every third billboard out here in Phoenix is, I can stick it to somebody for you. Call me. And, you know, and they'll say, well, you advertised, and then we drove off the road and rolled our fifth wheel, and guess what? Here's a big legal document. See you later. So, you know, I personally don't go there. But y'all do, you know, it's my money too. So I'm done.
We might make $15, Vance. Come on.
I'm going to reiterate. Can the committee come back with specifics, recommendations on this before we vote on it? Would be my thought here.
I second that if that's a motion. And
yeah, I agree also.
One point of clarification, just so the committee and the board and everybody knows, the RV pads are numbered from the south to the north. So as Kevin was describing, when you're on the main road looking over at them, the right-hand side, the furthest south, closest to headquarters is RV pad number one. Numbered this way simply because 4, 5, and 6 continue on to the north, and it wouldn't make any sense to count from north to south, 1, 2, 3, and then jump over and go back the other way, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6, or back and forth. So number one should be the one potentially reserved for work campers. 2 and 3 would be open to members on a whatever the committee and the board end up deciding on a time limit. But I think we're probably okay to start out as an exploratory test run with $15 a night and see where it goes. But that's to be decided next month.
I'm good with that.
I did have one other question. So obviously the committee is still in play and running, and we're going to send this back to them. And I think the board's all in agreement on that, and hopefully they'll come back with a recommendation for next month. But they also mentioned that they were working on a schedule, and I don't know if Mike McNichols is on. Is there a possibility of getting that schedule? Because if we're going to try and get all this work done before – cabin's open, we're going to need to kind of look at that schedule beforehand and or start to get things implemented.
Hi, Kate. This is Mike. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, that was my recommendation that, you know, between now and the next cabin committee meeting, that we try to put together a schedule. So that is in process, and I love all of the questions and comments that have been going on in the last couple of minutes about the RV pad. So that'll all be part of what we're going to be working on between now and the next board meeting. So I will commit to have at least a tentative proposal ready to submit to the board for the next meeting.
Thanks, Mike.
From the Treasury's perspective, there's $7,000 in maintenance for the cabins for 2024.
I would like to ask the committee a quick question, too. And I know that Dan Wirt had some recommendation on cabin fees. Has there been any discussion or any consensus on what you guys would recommend as far as a cabin fee moving forward? Reservations are coming in, and if we're going to make a change, we need to make it so that it does not affect those reservations that are already made, because if we're going to increase the fees to help generate revenue for maintenance and repair of these cabins and make them more self-supporting, we probably need to be proactive in that decision instead of kicking the can down the road, because that's every reservation then is costing you money if you are going to make a change.
So, I'd like to, this is Dan Word, I'd like to make a comment about that. That's actually my next project here, is to try and come up with what it might take to actually increase the rates to cover the actual operating expenses. This is a difficult proposition, because the expenses that we have, the expense sheets that we have been provided with are, in a word, in two words, a chaotic mess. And so it's going to necessarily be an estimate, and an estimate that may need to be revised either upwards or downwards later, when we can actually get solid numbers about the spending at Deer Springs Ranch. I agree it's going to be important to do soon. I'm just not quite ready. At some point, per Gruppenführer Brent's dictate of intervening, a member intervention at the appropriate time, I would like to say a couple things about the reservation process, which has been just discussed. But I'll wait until you all think that it's an appropriate time. That's all.
So the answer is that you guys are working on recommendations for fee changes or something along those lines. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. The answer is I'm working on it, and how many other people are working on it, I don't know at this point.
Okay. I don't know if Kathy's still on, but maybe we can take it back to Kathy and see what they can do.
I don't think she's on anymore. My thoughts on that are, one, we obviously, because of condition of cabins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we have a problem that has to be addressed, not only from the health and safety standard, but also from the liability standard. If someone falls through a rickety deck that was on a report from 5 years ago, we're liable for a massive lawsuit if someone's injured or killed. We absolutely have to address those issues.
Kevin, they have to be addressed.
Go ahead, Dan.
Kevin, you're absolutely right. And so perhaps this is the time for me to make some comments about our liability problems and how they relate to our reservation system and our policies regarding collecting waivers. So You know, as Vance Green just said, people are crazy about lawyers. We have a, even without the issue of renting cabins to outsiders, just renting cabins to members, family of members, friends of members, we have a significant liability problem, which is not really being addressed by either our waiver policies, the collection of waivers, or our insurance policies. I'm sure that our firemen in the group, you know, Brent, would be willing to testify in a deposition that all of our cabins are none of our cabins are fire traps, none of them, and that we might be facing a $50 million lawsuit for wrongful death or wrongful injury because we didn't even have the thin protection of collecting of assiduously collecting liability waivers from the members, their guests and their family using those cabins, which have been characterized as quote fire traps. And this gets back to what I want to say about the reservation system. It is, in my view, in my opinion, it is absolutely imperative that reservations only be made and accepted in the name, the legal name of the member who owns the lot per the Kane County property records. Now, that doesn't mean that that member can't use their cabin time for family or friends. But the reservation needs to be made in the legal name of the member. And this, in the future, secondarily, will mean that someone like me doesn't have to spend 40 hours trying to figure out who is using the cabins. No cabin should be rented unless the reservation is made in the member's name and all guests and family are specified and all of those people sign waivers and those waivers are assiduously collected and stored and filed. And I don't think that that's happening now. But I'm about to find out whether I'm about to discover just how good we are at collecting waivers. My suspicion is that we're not very good at it, and I just don't want to lose the association land because we are confronted with a $50 million wrongful death lawsuit and don't even have the thin protection that waivers exist. And I know all about that thin protection because I've been involved with these liability issues for decades in terms of lawsuits against doctors, lawsuits against hospitals.
So, hey, Dan, have you been through the reservation system? So the current reservation system requires everybody that is doing a reservation as part of the reservation through the reservation system to acknowledge the waiver. So that's being collected 100%.
I don't know about that, Cade, and I would have to have serious questions about that.
I'll give you a screenshot right now. I mean, there are people that don't go through the reservation system. I know that. So that I'm not saying that you're not making a good point, but the reservation system, and again, I don't know how much it protects us either, back to your point, but that waiver is being collected as part of the reservation process as you go through. So I'll send you a screenshot right now, but I wanted to verify it, but I remembered going through and doing it, and that waiver is being collected.
And that waiver is emailed as part of the reservation, that waiver that you acknowledge during the reservation process is emailed out along with the invoice.
Well, that would certainly attend to assuage my worries about this. But nevertheless, the primary person on any reservation would be the member. Always.
So one other problem with reservations, and you brought it up, is from the person making the reservations perspective, if you're doing a family reunion and you're renting out three cabins in January in anticipation of making sure you have the cabins available to you and your family reunion, you could put down 50 people or 25 people, but you don't truly know who's going to have the time off work and who's going to show up and who's going to be there 7 months later.
Exactly. And I agree, which is one reason why I mistrust the potential process that is being discussed here about the electronic reservation system. Every person who is in that cabin, whether or not they're listed on the electronic system or not, needs to have a signed hard copy waiver in the bookkeeper's office. Every single one.
Yeah, I think the cabin committee can make that as a recommendation and the board can discuss that, but.
Well, this is not, you know, this is actually not being discussed in the cabin committee. Apparently I'm a lone ranger here. I don't want to lose the association land because of our any laxity in our waiver process. And I guarantee you I'm going to be a burr in the saddle until I'm satisfied on that, because I haven't spent close to three decades paying dues to lose the association land. And actually, I would just like to add one more thing about the cabin committee and repairs on cabins. I failed to mention that Kevin is going to be regarding the repair on cabin six. Kevin's going to bring a big pipe wrench. I'm going to bring a stethoscope, and both Kevin and I are going to watch while Mike McNichols actually does the work.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there are stuff that we can look at that. I mean, the insurance might have a requirement as well for coverage. I know the insurance has verbiage about members being covered, but I'm not sure, back to your point, Dan. So again, seems like something perfect for the cabin committee to maybe address. Probably not our top priority right now, with repairs and stuff being our top priority and fees. I was going to make one comment. I think the plan for the repairs that need to be done, if they include estimates of how much of that $7,000 is going to be used, that might help us get, without the detailed analysis of all of the other stuff, just initially, are we going to have enough money in our current budget to get the emergency repairs that need to be done that are being recommended by the cabin committee? That might be enough to help us make a recommendation of whether a fee increase needs to be done or not. I'll just throw that out there as an idea too. But.
Well, a fee increase needs to be done independently of any cabin repairs, because what will dictate a fee increase is the actual operating expenses and how they're distributed among the members that actually use the cabins. And I mean, I find this difficult to believe, but in to my knowledge, nobody in the past, in these many decades, has actually done an analysis of who uses the cabins. What percentage of the members in the lots actually use the cabins? You know, there's been wild estimates, you know, almost nobody uses the cabins, or 80% use the cabins.
Yeah, so now we know it's, 33%? No.
Yeah, the answer is one-third of members corresponding to one-third of lots use the cabins in 2023. Now, who knows what that's been in the past? I can't speak to that. But I can tell you one thing. If reservations are not in the future, if reservations are not made in the legal lot owner's name, I'm not going to spend 40 hours again doing this sort of analysis.
Well, Dan, this is Jeff Collins. So can I ask, how does that work, the recording the cabin time in the lot owner's name, if, say, we give our cabin time to a different member and they're using our time instead of paying an overage fee? I'm not reserving the cabin in my name. They're using the cabin in their name, but using my time.
Yeah, that doesn't matter because the cabins, the cabin rules are for members.
So Dan, I'm a little bit confused by that claim though too, because we are right now recording the name. We just didn't give that information wasn't given out to the cabin committee because it wasn't relevant for the number. You needed to know how many were members and how many weren't. But back in the back end system, they know. That's part of the reservationist's responsibility is to verify that if they check that it's a member, that it's a member. So I'm a little confused.
To use an Australian slang term, what you're saying is bull dust. What you're saying is bull dust. I actually took sort of an extreme measure, but I actually have the data. And those reservations were not made. Those reservations were not made in the legal name of the lot owner. And that's why I'm not done yet. And that's why it took 40 hours to figure this out. Because that information is not, I don't believe that information is available to anybody.
That's your belief, but anyway, Michael can clarify.
So, Dan, how did you get hold of member-specific data?
Oh, okay, Michael. Since you were unwilling to provide that,
the board was unwilling to provide the member-specific data, so don't throw Michael under the bus.
Well, Michael and the board were unwilling to provide that, and I am not going to be reciprocal about this. I'm not going to reveal the source of my data, but I'm telling you, Cade. I'm telling you, I've got the numbers.
Time out. Redirect, please. Redirect. We're way off course. I understand the point of liability. I'm 199% on board with preventing lawsuits. I came from Houston, Texas originally. Anytime you drive through a major city and every other billboard, some personal injury lawyer's billboard, that'll tell you something. So that's not even a question. The question is, are we going to raise cabin dues to cover the cost of repairs or to assist in this process? Because Cade asked the pivotal question a little while ago. does our budget currently have enough money in it to make the repairs necessary? And the resounding, overwhelming answer to that is absolutely not. For $7,000, I can't even put a good scratch in all of the different liability and repair issues that need to be done on these cabins. I can fix the big ones, but there's a lot of other ones that are going to be there no matter what. And as far as allowing outside people on the ranch renting these cabins, I think you're opening yourself to liability and requirements for the properties to be used and code problems that we don't even want to consider. You know, so the narrow focus has to be making deck safe, making steps safe. I agree with fire extinguisher, smoke alarm, CO2 sensors. All of those basic, simple safety things need to be addressed. And after that, we will probably be running in the red in the first month because we simply just don't have the budget. And then if anything goes wrong, we can't fix anything because we've wiped out our budget just trying to make things safe. So the bottom line is, what are we going to do about a monumental problem that has been here now for decades? This isn't a new problem. It wasn't created by the last board or the board before that. This is something that needs to be addressed. It has been a collective, slow degrade over the course of years, and we're not going to fix it overnight, but we have got to move the needle. Thank you.
Well, I agree that this is me speaking now as a member of the cabin committee. I agree that the cabin fees need to be raised to at least cover the operating expenses. Now you can argue that some of the operating expenses should include more than just toilet paper and propane and cover repair costs. I agree with that. I don't think it's going to be possible to do that all in one year because there's so many repairs that need to be done. I myself am willing to contribute as much as I can as a contribution of money and labor, but I'm just one retired person. Some of these repairs need to be addressed with volunteer labor and maybe some volunteer funds.
Dan, this is Karen Fry. I have not had a chance to talk with the committee about this, but I have thought of some ideas of how we could try and make this happen since we haven't raised our dues. My suggestion, which, again, I haven't discussed it with the committee yet, but I think if we could get everybody on board to donate $25 per lot to go towards specified things for the cabin, that would be approximately $22,000 that we could put towards the cabins, over $22,000. We could make that happen. We could make that happen. I don't know if we could get everybody on board or not, but since we aren't raising the dues, which I don't agree to raise the dues, if we can donate $25 per lot to go towards specified things for the cabins, I think that would really help to get things back on track. Go ahead. Sorry.
Karen, I was just wondering, is that a one-time thing that you're proposing, or is that
it's a one-time thing. I don't know that you could get everybody on board to do that, plus raise your dues, plus, you know, what the dues already are at this point. But if we could at least get $25 for a one-time fee per lot, and put it towards the cabins, that could really help
pull us out of this slump that we're in. You know, we've tried for years. Now I've been a member for over 20 years, and there were many, many years that I know I personally tried to get things going with the cabin as far as volunteers and labors and putting, because I know a lot of people that will not rent the cabins because they're so ran down. If we could get them so that they were nice, I think we'd have a lot more usage out of the members. That's my take. Thank you.
Karen, this is Jeff Collins. So Tina and I were actually just talking about that same concept the other day. She was saying GoFundMe. I said, no, not GoFundMe because they take your money. But a ranch-based, Deer Springs Ranch-based GoFundMe, if you will, with specific items, right? So, like, let's say cabin plus hydraulicking wall is going to cost X amount of dollars. I want my money to go to that specific project.
Specific projects.
So it's not just a big pool of money and somebody says, oh, well, I think we should
give a raise.
So guys, I think
to go towards the cabins.
So I think we're kind of getting back into the. So I think we've got two options, right? So, and I don't know if you're asking for this, Kevin, but are you asking that we make a decision today on raising fees or doing something along those lines? If we're not asking for that today, then my recommendation is that this go back to the cabin committee and included with their analysis on all the repairs, because you guys don't even know. I mean, with that plan, we'll know if there's a cost involved. Do we need a $25 donation? How do we, you know, what is it all going to cost in order to repair? We don't have that data yet. But if we can come prepared next month with that data and or recommendations like this, and maybe it's a choice between it. Either it's, you know, every member can do a voluntary contribution, every member does a one-time contribution, or maybe we raise the actual cabin fees for the people that are using it. I think you've got multiple options that you can, and you guys can even recommend multiple options to the board that we can discuss.
I personally think we should do all of them. Yeah. I think we should do all of those. I think that would help. We're all members. We're all owners of the association. And it is something that is beneficial for all of us as members. I'd much rather do that than raise the dues, because you don't know where that money's going.
Kevin's proposing raising dues. I think he was talking around cabin fees to try and get them to help pay for themselves. But
this is Bart. Can I bring something up, please?
Sure.
Yes.
I really like the idea of a GoFundMe, whatever one it is. I'm just fundraising for it. But one concern from somebody who works in an organization that fundraises for construction and maintenance projects. If you allow donors to select or vote or give their money to a project-specific thing, that may not align with the priorities of our maintenance, i.e., you know, specific cabins that we know need to be fixed up or have high-risk problems that need to be fixed. It's better if you put that into a general fund just for cabins so that then you can put all the money to the priorities. I see some head shaking. I'm just telling you, we here at Best Friends, when we've allowed some donors just to pick a project willy-nilly that they're funding, suddenly we have $10,000 or $20,000 that we can't use on what we actually need. Instead, we have to divert labor to do a project that fell nowhere in our facility's priorities, but we have to satisfy that donor's need. And that's what's going to happen if you allow people to just willy-nilly pick their projects. You need to, and that's why I highly recommend it goes into a fund for cabins.
Yeah, once again, having experience in 501c nonprofits in the past, anytime you take specific funds for a specific project, that funds, far as I know, have to go to that project. So if you take and you collect $1,000 to repair the the deck on the garden cabin, you can't take that $1,000 and then put it into the repairs on the walls on cabin one, which, you know, and both of those are both high priority items. But you're not allowed the flexibility to, you know, spend the funds where they're most needed. So more of a general fund approach would be a better plan for that. As far as back to Cade's question, yes, I am proposing that we make a motion, we second, and we vote on a raise on cabin fees. And I love the idea of having donations for helping with this process, because even a cabin fee raise is not going to do everything that we need to do, but it will begin generating the funds through the season to continue with repairs and maintenance that we presently don't have the budget for.
Kevin, this is Dan. I agree that we should raise the cabin fees. The question is how much, and I would suggest that instead of actually voting to raise them by some amount today, that we wait at least until one more board meeting to figure out how much to raise them, because I'm working on my own recommendation for that right now, I mean, if the board wants to say we vote to raise the cabin fees but not specify now by how much, that's fine with me. But how much are you going to raise the fees? I mean, there's multiple questions to be asked. What is an estimate of the actual operating expense? What is an estimate of how much we want to set aside each year to make some of these high priority repairs? Karen, I would just like to clarify. A couple of times I've heard you say raise the dues. I think you meant raise the cabin fees, correct? Because before there's any talk about raising the dues, we need to figure out these issues about cabin operating expenses. And I'd also like to say that $25 from 300 members is $7,500, not $22,000, at least per my math.
Yeah, so Dan, I think she was saying she didn't want to raise the dues, but she's okay with raising. And Karen, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's okay with raising cabin fees.
No, several. We can listen to the recording of this, but times I've heard Karen say raise the dues, where I think she probably meant raise the cabin fees.
No, Kate, you're correct. I did mean not raising the dues. That was one of the things I wanted to make sure that we weren't doing. We've now know that we're not going to raise the dues this year. So I wanted to make sure, because I as far as raising the dues and then asking for donations, it would be difficult to do. So that's what I was talking about, was raising the dues. We didn't want to raise the dues. And as far as the calculation, I believe it was a little more than that at the time that I had wrote that number down. So, excuse me.
But I agree with Bart Batista that this money, and Kevin, I think this money needs to go into a general pool, not specific projects.
Okay, I make a motion that we table this cabin discussion until the cabin committee has more time to provide more information to us and continue on to the rest of the items on the agenda.
I won't second that. I think we need to discuss it. The number that I'm looking at is somewhere around $10 to $15 across the board for the cabin fees. One, we don't need to make it onerous to even think about renting the cabins. to answer the question someone had said earlier about the state of the cabins being so poor that people didn't want to rent them. That was very accurate a couple of years ago. 9, 10, 7, 6, let's see, 8. There's a number of cabins out there that have been addressed that are not necessarily top flight, but they're not like, oh my God, this thing looks like a meth house like some of them used to look. 9 and 10 would fit that meth house description. However, there's still much that needs to be done. There's still, like, the garden cabin needs a major facelift. Cabin 1 could still use more a cosmetic work, especially like in the upstairs area. And although cabin 1 is not detestable, it's lots of work. Cabin 2 needs some structural stuff there because the foundation is settling. I'd hate to put a golf ball down on that floor and see where it stops. There's a lot that needs to be done that is never going to be addressed without multiple layers and levels of work. And the first place to start is to get us out of the basement. $25 a night is nothing. You know, $35 to $40 a night begins to be a lot more reasonable. It's still affordable. It's not out of the realm of reasonable. Kicking it to $150 a night, you'd kill yourself. So there has to be a balance, and that's acknowledged. And I'm sure that that's a lot of what Dan's thinking is, where is that balance line? Where do we need to put this number where it doesn't kill reservations but still allows us to make progress? If we can couple that with some donations, awesome. But we have to do something, because doing nothing is going backwards, because nothing's getting cheaper, folks. It's all getting more expensive. For the last year and a half, I've been building a house, and it's cost me about 60% more than my original projection, and that's inflation, because material costs and building materials have skyrocketed. They came down a little bit, but nowhere near enough to make it that reasonable. So, you know,
Kevin,
that's
I've got,
my proposal.
Yeah, so two comments on that. One, I would like to wait until next month for two reasons. One, I would like to give the committee more time to give us actual numbers that justify or correspond with the value that you're trying to put in there. Because right now we're just throwing out a number that, while it's going to benefit us and get us closer to where we need to be, it's not based on actual numbers or facts that way. And then secondarily, I'd like to make sure that it's put on the agenda and communicated to the members so that more members can hear the discussion and some of the things that were presented and put into it before we actually vote on it. So for those two reasons, I mean, if we want to vote today, but I would vote no on any raises, because I don't have that data, just for your awareness. So if you want to put a motion to vote, I'm all for it.
But that's hey, this is Mike McNichols. Can I just a quick question?
Sure.
Hey, Michael Jordison, with the reservation system, I know there's concern about people that are making reservations already in advance at one price and then changing the price. Is it true that somebody who makes a reservation, they're locked into whatever the rate was at the time of the reservation?
Should be.
And then going forward, if we change the rate, then anybody who's making a new reservation in the future, they're going to be obligated to pay the new rate. Isn't it pretty cut and dry based on the reservation system?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about, you know, somebody that's already made a reservation and now we're going to increase the fee. So if we increase the fee next month or the month after, it's only going to impact people that make future reservations for the cabins.
Correct.
Okay.
That being said, Michael, this is Larry Clarkson. The bulk of the reservations will be coming in. They started already, and people are making reservations. They don't wait till July 5th to make a reservation for July 10th. So the longer we delay, we're not accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish in raising money for cabin operating costs by kicking it down the road.
Gotcha. I agree with you, Larry. So we want to do it as soon as possible.
Yes, I would like the cabin committee, if I don't know when their next meeting is scheduled, I just hate to kick it to the next month. I'm fine saying today we don't have the information, but to wait a full month, if I were a cabin user, guess when I'd make a reservation?
Depends on how money tight you are, Larry, and how much you want to help the ranch. But yeah, if you right now, right before they change the rate,
I'm just basing it on our general membership.
Yeah.
So right now, here's what I'll propose. We've talked about this and talked about it way, way, way too long. I'm not a cabin user and could care less if you make the cabin reservation fee zero or $10,000. It doesn't affect me, period. I will commit right now to pay $1,000 to the cabin renovation repair budget, and I will donate up to $1,000 worth of equipment time to make the repair on cabin one specifically. And let's move on. Let's quit wasting our time talking and talking and talking, because we'll do the same thing next month and the next month and the next month.
Well, I would like to propose that we actually have a vote next month, regardless of what we have the data or whatever it is. Come prepared with options and items to vote on, and the cabin committee can come with that if board members have options for it. Thanks for throwing your money out there, Larry, but and if we need to do it sooner, then maybe we have another board meeting sooner than that in 2 weeks. But or we spend the time of this meeting to actually hash it out and come up with a value. I think those are our three options.
I would like to.
I like your ideas. This is a member, Sally Miller. I'd like your ideas because, you know, you all can keep talking about the past and the past and the past. I think we need to look at the present and the future. And there's no reason that we can't get on with this. It's a no-brainer in terms of what's needed and what we all can contribute to.
Larry, this is Jeff Collins. But wouldn't it be appropriate, since Sally brought up the past, in the past when rates were changed for cabins or even the dues for that matter, a survey and different things went out to the actual membership, because this is, after all, a membership-based organization. So shouldn't that be the appropriate course of action, would be to send something out to the membership prior to just saying, oh, we're going to raise your rates tomorrow. Have a nice day.
I think anybody that's been involved in the ranch at all has already been part of that discussion and knows that's what we've been talking about. This month, last month, the month before, the month before, the month before, the month before. If they're clueless, Jeff, they're still clueless, and they're going to be clueless. I would say the cabin committee needs to come up with a recommendation in the next 2 weeks of $5 increase, $10 increase, $15 increase, $50 increase, and we move on.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, it wasn't 25, it was 75. So thank you for correcting me, Dan. I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay, this is Dan Ward. I'm going to have one more thing to say, and then I'm going to shut up. If you all will look at the cabin usage analysis for 2023 that I did, and posted on both Facebook sites. Some time ago, a week ago or so, I added some notes. They really represent my sort of first approximation before I've finished with the actual number crunching of the operating expenses of the cabins. And in those notes, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. In those notes, I've made some hypotheticals about what the cabin reservation fees could be increased to. In other words, increased to $50, and what the nightly fees for cabins 1, 3, and 5. Could be increased from by $20 from the current $30, And the fees for the remaining cabins be increased by $10, currently $25 to $35. And it's interesting because this corresponds pretty much to what Kevin Poole's estimate would be. Kevin said something like, raise the cabin fees across the board $10 to $15. Well, I'm hypothetically thinking about raising the cabin fees from $10 to $20. And you can see in my notes, you can go to the Facebook group, either one, and see in my notes what kind of revenue increase that would produce. But we should also talk about raising the reservation fee. So I realize this is a two-edged sword. We don't want to wait too long. And on the other side, the other edge is we don't want to act without having actual data. So, frankly, I wouldn't be opposed to having a vote today to raise the cabin fees $25 for 1-3 for 1-3 and 5, and $15 for all of the rest, just as a first approximation.
I don't mean to cut you off, but this is Larry again. I read your report and saw those figures, and I maybe in error, I kind of thought you and the rest of the cabin committee were all working on this and that information had been shared with everybody. And so that's why I'm at the point I'm at. I'm like, we already have not just a blind shot in the dark. We have some fairly educated information that's gone into this to this point. And so that's why I'm not thinking we need to keep examining and trying to learn. And it's not rocket science. And so,
yeah, Larry, I take your points, and that's why on the notes that I published, the first line of each sentence is hypothetically, and the reason I did that, and I'm sorry if it was interpreted as this was the answer from the cabin committee, it's not. It's my answer hypothetically before I actually have had a chance to try and crunch the absolute chaotic mess of the financial information that we were sent. And I sure hope that gets really, really improved in the next year. We need to have much better numbers before we can act. But you're right, Larry. We're all like mushrooms growing in the dark, and you know what? And so what the hell? If the board wants to increase the cabin fees right now from $15 to $20 or $25 a night, depending on the cabin, go for it.
Well, that was my error, was not realizing that everybody else evidently has not read through that or at least gone through that thought process. And you're correct that we're dealing with information that's been gathered from, a file that was on a dusty shelf and a notepad that was in a box in a storage unit and one operating system that was in a notebook and another operating system that was in a website that didn't work and another operating system that we're trying to implement. And so we are where we are, and to me, it's not going to do any more good to keep trying to make a new piano out of old transmission parts. We're starting brand new, and hopefully our new website, our new reservation program, our new accounting system, our new people all involved, we're going to have more reliable data for 2024 to tell us something in 2025, but I'm not willing to wait till 2025 to evaluate it. Let's take what we know now. We're short on money. We have repairs. We have liability. We have damage that has to be done in the next 4 months to open for the season, and raising the money one way or another. If you take your hypotheticals, which I really agreed with, that still doesn't generate the money that we need to do everything. So
yeah, Larry, you're absolutely right, and you know you are a wise man, and
tell my wife that.
I really appreciate you. And you know what the analogy is in medicine? If you wait until you have all of the laboratory data, the patient has already died. And so you are absolutely right. And so Mike McNichols in the chat just made a comment, and I think Mike, if you could please intervene now and tell us your thought about the cabin fees. But you know, Larry, you're right. The board should just make the increase $20 to $25, depending on the somewhere between $15 and $25, depending on which cabin it is. And let's just go for it and see where we can get, and hope like hell that we can get better numbers next year, because we have better management than we had before.
Thank you. Mike McNichols, do you want to tell us what Dan just was telling us about?
Sure. I just typed a message into the group chat, and I agree with Jeff and Tina that it needs to be member-driven and, you know, members' input included. But I think we've already done that. Anybody that wanted to be involved should be on these board meetings, and they should already know what's being discussed and why. And I also agree with Larry that the sooner we make the change, the better, to be able to actually get the benefit from the change. So I'm suggesting that and this is not a recommendation from the cabin committee. This is just my thoughts as an individual owner. But I think a recommendation to increase the cabin rental rates, $10 per night for the lower occupancy cabins and $20 per night for higher occupancy cabins, makes perfect sense to me. It's not an onerous increase. It's still, I mean, when you rent a cabin, the expectation is you're going to have at least, you know, 2, 4, 6 people in it, and possibly as many as 10 or 15 or 20 per night. And the rates that we're charging are still going to be far lower than people would have to pay if they were renting a motel room in Kanab. And I think it just makes sense for us to do that, and the sooner we do it, the better. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. Okay, so if we're going to vote today on recommendations and values, so I've heard one recommendation is just 20 and 15 for the two. We have had discussion around doing a night per person additional stuff on that, and I attached some a spreadsheet that kind of has some of those as different options. I raised things up a little bit more based off of occupancy, but I do have actual numbers that I can put on the screen and propose and have discussion around that if we're going to spend the time to do this. And maybe we can even capture some other ones just so that they're captured exactly the way people are proposing it. But if that's the route we want to go down, it's going to take a little bit longer, I think, than just a 5-minute, hey, let's vote. But that's my opinion.
And we should talk about more than just raising the cabin fees. We should talk about raising the reservation fee to $50.
It's all on the spreadsheet, so we could discuss those as well.
So let me jump back in here, because I've done some number crunching on this stuff as well. And as far as an occupancy-based rate and all of that, I think that was tried in the past under the pay-for-play. I think bookkeeping is kind of universally agreed that that's a nightmare. It's going to turn Danielle into the invoice posse, which she's doing enough already. We don't need her trying to chase down who didn't include the 3 children and the dog. So a flat rate fee keeps it simple, keeps it clean, and the actual difference between doing like a $15 flat rate fee as opposed to the $20 fee and $10 fee that Daniel or that Dan proposed. If we do a $15 flat fee, we actually will end up in a perfect world, 100% occupancy compared to last year's numbers and all that at the new rate. You will make about $1,600 more on a $15 across the board flat fee than you will splitting the two fees.
Who's talking?
Okay, just hang on.
I don't know who's talking. I don't know. So, in my mind, we should go.
He's listed at the top of the screen.
She muted him. I don't know if we're experiencing technical difficulties. Something's going on. It's kind of strange. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I would make a motion to make a flat rate across the board raise in the dues for the cabins at $15 at this point, just to keep it simple and keep it clean. Do we have a second?
You're saying $15 per reservation, each every cabin straight across the board.
Straight across the board, flat rate, $15 a night increase in the fee to rent the cabins.
I second.
All in favor?
Well, I want to know, does that include the reservation fee, or is that, that'll be separate, right?
I think the reservation fee needs to be a separate issue.
Okay.
Bless you.
I will, well, it's been second, and I'll say A. I'll vote for that.
Sorry, I missed the proposal. What was the proposal? I had to run to the restroom. This meeting's taking too long. Can you repeat the proposal and the motion?
The motion is a $15 flat rate fee increase for the nightly rental of the cabins across the board. Simple and clean.
Kevin, let me ask one question before I consider my vote. And this question may go back to Dan using his brain with some of his analysis. Based on the hypotheticals on, let's say, last year's occupancy rate, if we duplicate that, what does that generate? What does that do for us money-wise? Is that something you can calculate real quick and tell me? I mean, is this accomplishing? It's going to help, definitely, but is it going to accomplish what we want to do?
In a perfect world, once again, if we had the exact same occupancy as last year using Dan's numbers that he crunched, at the flat rate fee, it will generate about $12,000 in additional money to be used in cabin maintenance, repair, and cabin support.
Okay. So you've made the motion. It's been seconded.
Well, I'm not sure about those numbers.
I may be wrong.
There were 190 reservations, cabin reservations, last year in 23.
How many total nights?
And 190 times 15. Let's see if I did the math right.
Is that
190 is just the members that did reservations? Or is that 190 nights?
Yeah, no, there was 100. Oh, that's the number of reservations. Yeah. No, the number of nights was about 850.
That's reservations.
850. So 850 times 15 is
1,250.
Yeah, that's 12,750. That's correct. But what I'm curious, why should the reservation fee increase be not discussed now as well?
I think it should be discussed, Dan, but I think it's a separate vote. I mean, I don't think we're going to vote to raise all of it all in one ball of wax. Let's get the cabin nightly rental rate raise established, and then let's discuss reservation fee what's the appropriate raise in that? I'm for raising both of them. I just don't want to raise both of them inappropriately or to a different amount.
Well,
I just want to see if we raise the nightly fee $15, that generates an additional $12,000. That's great. I would also like to make sure that that money is ear tagged for cabin use, not general budget. You know, we keep raising money and it gets sucked into a black hole.
Hey, everybody, excuse me. This is a question for Brent as the president and the chair, right? We had a motion. Typically, after you have a motion, the discussion is among the board members. We've already had a discussion of everything else. So now the discussion is between the voting members on what we're going to do and whether we want to add any changes or amendments to the motion. So I think, Brent, can we do that, or are we just going to continue with a free-for-all?
I called for a vote on the proposal. And so let's vote on that, and then let's move on to the
– Okay, Kevin made the motion, who seconded it, so I can have it in the record?
I did. Bart did.
Bart? Okay, Bart seconded it.
Okay, all in favor of a $15 per night across-the-board cabin fee, say, give me your vote.
Scott Kohler, yay.
Larry Clarkson, yay.
Bart Batista, yay.
Tate Hoff, nay.
Kevin?
I vote yay.
Okay. And Brent Fulmer? Yay.
Michael?
I'm going to go yay, but with, I think this kind of negates the work the cabin committee has done. I hope that they continue and bring forth more recommendations as the data becomes available.
Okay, well, the motion is passed. So, and Scott, you've got it all recorded?
Yes.
All right. Now,
why don't you address the reservation fee, which was an important part of this?
No. Okay. Let me just one quick point here. I want to make a second motion following with what Larry had mentioned. I want to make a motion that any funds generated from additional cabin fees are spent solely on cabin maintenance and repair, the support of the cabins.
I would second that.
I need more discussion.
Yeah, my discussion would be account for Michael. Will we be able to differentiate this? Will you earmark money? How are we going to account for this?
Yeah, and I don't know that answer. The way the motion was made was, I want this $15 to be set aside, guaranteed for cabin maintenance.
Right. Every station you put that in a different fund.
That's going
to
be
to raise the cabin fees, nightly fees or nightly rates. And then the new motion is to make sure that those extra fees were just into a dedicated pool. While that's generally a good idea, and I think what we'd like to do, because we want the cabins to pay for themselves, or do you have a process to do that?
Currently, no.
All right.
Well, wouldn't it just be we take the income from the cabins and that becomes the budget for the following year? I mean, are we?
Operating budget for the ranch covers all that goes into right now.
It goes into the general operating budget.
Now we have to separate something else, and I just want to make sure there's a process in place for that.
So we do have the income separate now. We didn't in the past. The income is separate and could be set aside. But the way the motion was raised was this added fee is that the $15 per night is only set aside, or is it now the whole 45 and the whole 35 or whatever it is set aside. I mean, those are two different. I need to be clear on what are we setting aside. Because the motion was the additional funds need to be set aside. So that's the $15.
So I guess the question would be, if we did the whole nightly rate was just the cabin fees, how does that affect the rest of the operating budget for the ranch and the maintenance required throughout the rest of the ranch? Right? Because I don't think we've made these specific, we haven't made a specific set aside to date. So if we do that now, how are we affecting our water system? How are we affecting road maintenance? How are we
How do we pay for the ranch manager who's not 90% of his job is maintaining cabins and doing stuff that way? So, I mean, Does that include it in the maintenance and whatever of the fees?
Yeah.
So I agree with where you're headed, Kevin. I totally agree with it. But we need to be careful how we articulate this and how we separate those funds and research the impact that's going to have on the rest of the general budget. Because there are still two-thirds of the ranch that, I mean, when I bought my lot, I knew there were cabins and I knew I would be subsidizing them somehow with my annual dues. And while we want the cabins to be self-sustaining, we, as the other two-thirds, still benefit from that. So I'm okay with where we're headed, but I'm not, my vote is no at this point, because until we figure out how we're going to do it and what the actual funds are going to be set aside, I need more than just a general do this.
Well, I agree with if we need to, from the accounting perspective, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a bookkeeper. I don't know how to make that stuff work. I know how to write an invoice in QuickBooks. That's about the extent of my bookkeeping prowess. What I don't want to see is we generate an additional $12,000 for cabins that are desperately in need of repair, and then it goes into the first giant hole that opens up, and I can promise you there will be one or several. Is it the grader that breaks down? Is it the backhoe that blows up? Is it a transmission that goes out in a truck? I mean, what is the next disaster that's on the horizon? I don't know. My crystal ball quit functioning. I'm just trying to protect the funds that we're trying to generate for the cabins to the cabins, so we don't just continue to allow those to devolve into a state of disrepair. Because that's traditionally what's been happening. Now, that's been reversed greatly in the last 3 or 4 years. Still got a long way to go. I'm just trying to see to it that we are financially responsible for the money that we're generating from cabbage usage to stay with the cabins rather than it go into the abyss. Now, how that occurs, how you make the wording, I don't know.
So
I mean, you guys are all smarter than I am.
So we do have all of the revenue separated out by cabin on the P&L. It's sent everything. This is a budgetary discussion come next November when we have all of the data. We have the amounts that came in from the cabins, and when we start divvying up that funds, we can say we generated $40,000 from cabins. This $40,000 is set aside for cabins. I mean, we can do that, but that's a budgetary thing come next November. That's not a...
Well, here's another proposal just to throw out there. What if we increase the 2024 budget, because we've now increased the fees, so we increase the income by the estimated $12,000, and then maybe for the cabin budget, we increase the cabin budget by, let's be conservative and do $10,000 or something along those lines.
No, cut it in half, because there are 40, 50 reservations already made.
Oh, gotcha.
You can reserve up to 18 months or 16 months. I can't remember the exact number. And people have been making reservations for 2024 since mid-2023. So
could we comfortably increase the income by 7 and the cabin budget by 7?
I mean, it's all an estimate.
Yeah, I mean, all of it's just budget for right now, but it kind of gives us an idea of where the money's supposed to be allocated for this year, and then we can revisit next year based off of actual data.
Yeah.
even a $5,000 budgetary increase and estimate would be beneficial if it's money that we can generate and subsequently use in the fall to help with cabin repair before the bad winter hits and we can do nothing. Because mixed in all of these things, we have to remember that we lose 4 or 5 months of being able to effectively accomplish the work that needs to be done around here with the weather. So that needs to be factored into our decision-making process as well. Thank you.
If everyone else is willing to do a budget, I mean, so this would be this is, I think, where Kate's headed, is a budget amendment to cabin maintenance for, and I'll use your number, Kevin, $5,000. As the projected new income based upon this $15 fee.
So $15,000 or $5,000 into new income and $5,000 into, are we allocating it to the cabins or are we just going to leave it open?
No, reallocating it into cabin, that's what I said, cabin maintenance, putting that into the cabin maintenance budget. So that increases it from $7,000 to $12,000.
I make a motion that we increase the overall income from the cabins by $5,000 and increase the budget for cabin maintenance by $5,000.
I can second that.
Okay, help
me. All in favor?
Go ahead. Help me with the wording so I can get it right in the minutes. And
so I made a motion that we increase the cabin income or the budget line item for cabin income by $5,000.
Budget? Cabin budget.
Well, cabin income. So it's the cabin income. There's two line items on the budget. There's the income for $5,000 as well as the cabin maintenance expense line item by $5,000.
Okay. Help me word that again. The two different line items.
Income.
Income.
Cabin income and cabin expense.
Okay. And that was, everybody voted in favor, right?
We haven't voted yet.
Oh, we haven't.
We haven't voted yet.
Who was the second? Cade made the motion.
I made the motion and Michael seconded it.
Michael. Okay.
So
all in favor.
Well, I want to ask, I have a question on it first. So we anticipate if we have, we're making this increase on the speculation that we're going to make more money next year in the next year budget based on the $10 increase or $15 increase in nightly cabin rates, which brings us to $12,000 if we use the same numbers. We're arbitrarily picking a $5,000 number, but we know the cabins need all this money. So why aren't we just saying that the increased fee goes to the cabin maintenance?
So we don't know how much the fee is.
Well, I know, but it's easy to do. You just now you know what the that comes in. You got the daily rates. So for the nights that are rented and paid out, you just take $15 from each of those nights and you can earmark the budget. Now we don't have a definite number, but
we think it's estimated at 12,000, but for this year half the cabins are already rented, so we're not going to get that income, so we opted to go with a lower amount for now.
So Bart, there are already a good portion of reservations for 2024.
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
I understand what you guys are saying.
Okay.
I get it.
But then we can raise that the next budget back in September.
Mark's point is simply that we're picking $5,000 as a number rather than just saying whatever the amount is, the increased amount.
Yeah, but if we're putting it into a budget, it's just an estimate, so we're just estimating it. So the hard thing is how would we – we won't know the actual amount until after the year is over is the downside. So that
just say that the new money goes into the cabin maintenance fund.
Right, but then he's got to keep track of it every month to see how much more is into the cabin maintenance fund.
This is the easiest way to do it. So
Dan, that's a nightmare for Danielle to go through and say, well, I have 5 nights on this reservation and
this one was before January 13th, and this one wasn't.
After the increase or before the increase.
This highlights the prior conversation where we were talking about earmarking money for specific projects, right? Yeah. We don't have a robust accounting system to even do that. So I understand what you're talking about. We don't have a robust accounting system to be able to even do this. So I get it. I'm on board. Sounds good.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to do the 5,000 increase. Scott's got the wording down. We have not voted.
This is Scott Kohler.
I call for a vote.
Scott Kohler, aye.
Pate,
aye. Larry Clarkson, aye.
Mark Batista.
Kevin Poole, aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Brent, aye. And Kevin, I assume because you made the motion, aye.
I think I got talking over Bart. My apologies.
Okay, it was passed unanimously.
This is Dan Word. And now maybe you all could address the other elephant in the room. You know, you all are talking about raising these fees for cabin maintenance and repair. What about the actual operating costs? Now, if we're going to make guesstimates at this point and not actually wait for the numbers, then we should also talk now about the reservation fee, because whether it's $5,000 or $12,000, this is in my current understanding of the economics here. This is going to be like pissing in the ocean, and it's not going to cover repairs, maintenance, and actual operating expenses. So I would suggest that you all discuss the trying to make some contribution to the actual operating expenses by increasing the reservation fee.
Okay, Dan, what do you recommend?
$50.
A $50 total fee raised from, isn't it currently 25?
It is.
So if we go 50, that's a raise of 25. Based on last year's numbers, the guesses that were going on, the educated guesses, there were 190 reservations last year.
Well, hold before you start doing those numbers. We did not implement the reservation fee until July or September.
And that's my biggest opposition right now to increasing or changing the reservation fee. The reservation fee was just implemented, and
we don't have data on that. We have very little data on what that reservation fee actually did to help offset the costs.
And secondarily, it was targeted to a reservationist position, was part of the justification and reason for that fee, which we don't have that expense anymore. So I.
Kate, look
Dan, at my Dan.
Look at the hypotheticals. Why don't you read that? Because I understand that we don't have the reservationist anymore. But we're going to have to pay for things like laundry. Okay.
Which is
a major operating expense.
So here's my whole problem with the entire process with this, Dan, is that I don't think it should have been voted on yet because I think other items should have been considered. So at this point in time, I would have had time to read. Just Dan, let me finish. Thank you. I would have read your comments in more detail if I knew that we were going to be voting on something today. That was not on the agenda. It was not something that was indicated, and that's the reason I say I don't want to vote for it right now. So if you guys put a motion, I will vote, but I am not interested in discussing the reservation fee at this time.
Kay, this is Jeff. So to go to Dan's point about the operating expenses, the 2024 budget already shows the operating expenses are covered. So I don't even understand why you're discussing this. It shows an income of $26,000 from last year, $18,000 in operating expenses for the upcoming year, which leaves a positive cash flow of $8,000.
From the cabins.
So it is covering its own expenses. If that is the purpose for increasing the reservation fee.
We have no justification.
There's no justification.
You all don't know what the operating expenses are.
They were transferred over from last year to this year. If you listen to previous board meetings about the budget, the numbers that were transferred over were the numbers that were spent from last year. So with an anticipation that those numbers should be the same or similar, it's already in the black.
I don't believe that.
Well, then we need to see numbers that justify it elsewise.
Well, you know, and those numbers don't include, and that was one of the things I mentioned when we formed this cabin committee, those numbers don't include the cost of the property manager's salary. And that needs to be accounted in those numbers. And we don't, the cabin committee hasn't returned with that data yet.
To that point, so there's actually still a discussion as to what it is we're trying to actually come up with. So it's been said that the caretaker salary is a separate thing. It's not being rolled into cabin nightly rental numbers. And then some people believe that it should be. So that distinction hasn't even been established yet. So we're putting the cart before the horse here, people. You're defeating the whole purpose of the cabin committee.
I agree with you, Jeff. I agree with Jeff. I think we ought to table this and let the cabin committee continue on and give us the figures and then decide, since we've already made these two other votes and motions, that we should table it for right now. That's my proposal.
I'm satisfied that we have made some progress forward, so I can be less impatient. But I'm one that I get tired of literally talking about the same thing month after month after month after month, and then having people saying, well, we need to talk about it some more.
Well, but it needs to be on the agenda, and it needs to be options come to the meeting before we even – we had nothing presented to us until this actual meeting that were just pulled out of thin air. And I agree with you. I don't want to keep kicking it down the road, but I want real options that have been discussed and presented that we know the pros and cons of and complete solutions. This half-assed solution stuff has got to stop. And I understand where you guys are going with it, but – I'm not happy with how this kind of went down. And again, as was pointed out, I think it kind of we discussed this last month, asking the committee to come forward with options, and we haven't given them the time to do the options and just made a decision without them, which we were trying to prevent last month, and we've just overridden that. But anyway,
the nature of the data is such that if at this point, I don't think more than a half-assed solution is even possible. Only a stab-in-the-dark estimate. And since we've made one stab-in-the-dark estimate today, I suggest that we make another one until the accounting here can be actually brought up to the beginning of the century.
So, Dan, is that coming from the committee or is that coming from you, Dan Wirt?
Well, I disagree. I think, like I said, I made the motion that we table this.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Lack of time to discuss it, I will agree and say I got other things to move on to and I had somewhere else to be 15 minutes ago.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. So,
aye, Kevin.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin.
With that being said, Brent, I would like to maybe encourage – I don't think anything we've done today should be a discouragement to the cabin committee. They analyzed a lot of information. They've talked about a lot of ideas. Based on that information and ideas, I think we've been able to make a positive moving forward type decision today, and I would like to encourage them to continue and not next month or the month after, the month after, in the next week or two, continue to have discussions and come or email or communicate through Facebook. What ideas do you have on reservation fee? I would like to make a motion right now or just set it on the agenda that we're going to make a decision on reservation fee next month. So either come okay. prepared or don't come prepared. There's going to be a vote called for a reservation fee increase. $1, $1,000. I don't know what it is. You guys tell us. But we're going to make a vote next month.
I'm fine putting that on the agenda for next month.
It's already on. Okay. And to answer, somebody asked a question. Kathy Pierce is the chair of the cabin committee. All right. One thing that hasn't been discussed, and I hope you notice that Brent doesn't chime in very much. I'm just planning on listening. But one of the things that hasn't been discussed is fixing the electrical problem we got down there with the splice going to cabin 8. I will fix it, and I will pay for it. So that's something that you don't have to worry about. All right, Cade, you're up. Bylaws Committee report.
Okay, I'll try and keep this quick and short. So the Bylaws Committee has had one meeting. We're in the process of identifying what items need to be addressed in the bylaws and rules and regulations. We're also going to consider the CC&Rs in case there's any conflicts or impacts as long as those are concerned. Our next meeting is scheduled for Sunday at 7 p.m., all of the individuals that have indicated an interest in participating have received an email. If I have their email address, there's a couple that I'm still missing the email address on. So if you're interested in that committee, we are getting to 14 members, which is getting a little bit large. So I'll probably be shutting that down. But if you have a strong interest, let me know and we'll get you an invite to that meeting. Right now, there's no recommendations from the committee or changes. We're still in the analysis phase and just noting what needs to be discussed going forward and in the future. So no recommendations at this time. That's my update.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody on the committee want to comment? Okay, all right. Bart, you're up. I didn't add in here our progress on the 40K tank fix.
Well, I'll just add that. So we've worked on some budgets for individual lot connections, and so that's moving along. We have prepared a letter that should be going out within the next couple of days from the president to the affected lot members for the water system, explaining basically that the ranch is going to basically cost share up to $5,000 per lot for the connection fee, and they're responsible for the rest of the cost of that of their connection. If they choose not to do that connection, then they will need to be disconnected from the water system. And so that's kind of the options they have, either connect or they have to, or connect per the letter from DDW that basically spells out what the requirements are, or they can go on their own way and not be connected to our water system. Moving along from that, the next thing is kind of water rights. I'm going to have a water committee meeting in the next week or two. And in that, we're going to kind of look at how are we going to perfect our water rights. Tentatively, some ideas would be we probably will need volunteer work to help with this. It's to work on, you know, improving some of the old irrigation ditches so we can, you know, show use of a very large amount of water rights that we have there. So just, you know, right now, let's put it out there. That may be an ask coming out for, you know, volunteer work in the future. That's really all I have at this time. Any questions?
Yeah, Bart, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Jerry Clark, lot 144.
Yes.
When you guys did your estimate for the ranch's responsibility, how did you estimate how much that was going to cost per
yes.
lot?
We do have a lot fee. I think it was per lot. I asked Kurt Jacobson worked on that since he's going to be doing the work and doing a lot of the procurement of those materials. And I believe he said that we did break it down by lot. We will get that to you. Does that help? Do you want more granularity there?
Well, no, it does. I'm just wondering where the $5,000 budget that you guys have arbitrarily set is, where that number came from. And does that connection, will that cost give the lot owners that are impacted, being myself, our full connection?
So $5,000 is the connection fee that was made by either the existing or a former lot owner was $5,000. And so because upgrades need to be done or just disconnection, the board voted on and approved committing $5,000 of ranch funds to each lot connection. Now, so
we paid that. That $5,000 was paid when the lot was purchased.
Correct. Well, yeah. So the $5,000 was paid. And so that's why we're going to be contributing that $5,000 to the cost of the connection.
And does the responsibility as far as what you guys are going to be giving each lot owner, I'm assuming that covers the $5,000 allocated budget? Or will it be more? Because you said that we will share in the cost up to $5,000. Are you budgeting that each lot is going to cost within that $5,000 allocated? Or is the owner anticipated to come up with the difference?
If there is a difference and I don't have the budget sheet in front of me, then the lot owner will have to come up with that difference.
How is it determined?
How is it determined?
Yeah, after the first, how do you determine when $5,000 has been spent?
Well, cost of materials.
And labor.
Well, we were going to do labor, but most of that labor is going to be the ranch manager. And Larry, sorry for throwing you under the bus, but I heard that you might be participating in doing that as well. So that labor, and I'm not sure if they're going to be – actually, I don't think labor was included in the calculations. It was just material costs.
Okay. Well, we certainly want to be a part of that, and we don't expect it to be done without our participation.
Oh, no, it won't be done without participation. That's in the letter that you'll be receiving. It indicates the ranch manager will be contacting you to coordinate the details of the specific lots.
Okay. All right. I look forward to receiving that letter. Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions on water?
Oh, all I did on the agenda was I just wanted you to clarify on the certified operator designated person thing.
So currently I am currently now the designated person for the Deer Springs Ranch Water Systems. I spoke with the staff at the Division of Drinking Water. The Deer Springs Ranch Water Systems are not required to have a certified water operator because we are a transient non-community water system. So having a certified water operator is a best management practice. If we continue to get fail our monthly tests, we failed, I think, two or three last year. It's at the DDW's discretion, but they could require us to chlorinate our lower water system, which would then require us to have a certified water operator in treatment. And so we really don't want to have to go down that route. Until then, we do not need a certified water operator. Again, it is the best management practice. Additionally, as a transient non-community water system, we do not need a cross-connection control program administrator. But we do need a we still need to have our cross-connection devices inspected. And so that is a – we had been paying for that in the past. It's something we don't need to do, but we still will need inspectors, and I do have inspectors, and I've confirmed with them and within the past 2 weeks that they are still able to come inspect when we want to have them come inspect our cross-connection devices. Is that it? Is that kind of what you're expecting, Brent? Any gaps?
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Bart. Thanks. I appreciate that. I just wanted everybody to
so the
get
two
that,
two
that information.
So
I'd like to add on to what Bart was talking about. We've been paying someone to do this, and I don't think that Bart's license should be used by the ranch for free. I think we need to make an analysis of what the cross-connection inspection is going to cost and the backflow inspection is going to cost, and compensate Bart for his time and effort and licensing in some way, shape, or form.
So I do appreciate that, Michael. Right now, most of our water testing that's being done, you know, Brent and I think we should do the analysis, but Brent and Kurt have volunteered to do those tests or to basically do the samples. And as long as I can ensure that, you know, and that it's being done to the standard, an appropriate standard, we're good to go. And I think that was kind of the general, yeah, so this, I think it's kind of, if there are other kind of more engineering things, yeah, we can have those discussions. But right now for, it's pretty simple. Our water system is very simple. I think we added some complications in the past through best intentions, but we just need to – really, we need to make sure we do best practices moving forward.
Was there a cost for you to activate your water certification?
No, I have my –
You had to reactivate it, right, or something, right?
I had to go apply, and I have to maintain certification through doing. Small system operator. You have to get like 20 credit hours every like 3 or 4 years. I'm doing that anyways, and typically, you know, because of my other job at Best Friends, and so it's. We don't need to charge the ranch for that. If there's some ranch-specific item for training that we want to do, and or if we really have to investigate doing chlorination of our lower system, then we can kind of cross that bridge.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that, I mean, we paid for it in the past. We're using your license. If you're okay allowing that for now, and we'll reevaluate as time goes on throughout the year, but I didn't want you – incurring costs due to the ranch and not being reimbursed for it. Yeah.
No, understood. Thank you. But right now, I think we're good right now, especially with kind of the real heavy lifting is being done by Brent and Kurt on this. And I'm just providing kind of that technical oversight and guidance to them. There is some regulatory, paperwork, you know, schedules, updating our sampling plans, things like that. But I will try not to get too into the weeds on that. One issue as the designated person. So the designated person doesn't need to be a certified water operator. Their responsibility, their primary responsibility is ensuring that the source protection zones, that we implement best source protection control practices. And that's basically looking at your zone one and your zone two around the wells and making sure that those are free of potential sources of contamination. And so really that's our biggest issue really is cows. And I know that Jeff had been harping, had been talking about this a lot for the upper cabins, and it's making sure that those springs are fenced off from cows. And so those are things that I'm still going to be harping on. We still need to address those issues. They do have costs associated with them. We don't have, I don't have numbers yet, and I didn't receive any kind of proposed or, well, I'm not sure it was costed out, like what it would be to update, upgrade the fence that is around the springs that are sourcing the upper cabins. So just some things that, you know, are going to be an issue as we move forward.
But, Bart, the upper cabins aren't currently part of our water system, are they?
They're part of the lower. They're part of the upper water system. So we have a basically a certified system and an uncertified system. The uncertified system isn't required to be certified because it's considered a private system. It's still in their records, and they still want a designated person for it.
Gotcha.
So when they come and do inspections, really they have no regulatory force to say, you know, we're going to ding your IPS rating for your system, but they can still say, hey, you're not complying. And also, as a ranch, if we're letting people rent cabins in the upper cabins, we want to make sure we're not providing contaminated water. So that's kind of just a best management practice and what we should be doing for our system, for our members. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions of Bart?
This is Larry. Just a point of clarification. We will still be required at some point to pay an independent inspector to come out and verify our backflow or cross connection points once or twice a year. And there's two things that we found out we really don't have to have, but we will farm out to somebody else, correct?
That's correct. We need to have those inspected, and there is an inspector in town that we can use. We don't need certified water operators. We don't need a cross connection program administrator.
That answer your question, Larry?
Yeah, it did. Daniel's dogs were barking in my microphone, so I had to shut it off. Yeah, that was my question. I did have a question or a comment just from Gary's comment on the water, our corrective measures on those four water connections. I have not seen the cost analysis, but I think that the ranch is paying $5,000 per connection for those four. But I believe that the lot owner's side will still have to do something on their side for their own systems. Is that correct?
That is correct. So the lot owner, there is going to be a solar. They're going to need to have a pump or something.
They're all responsible for creating pressure in their system.
They're responsible for creating pressure on their side. And we, as the ranch, are also responsible for inspecting and making sure that mechanism, whatever pump they use, is in good operation.
Isn't sending anything back potentially into the remainder of the system.
Well, we know just on the – because we have the system we're implementing with a – I think we're using like 1,000 or 1,100-gallon tanks on each – for each lot. And there's going to be air gaps and double check valves installed in the system. There's no way it will go back in there. The regulators just, you know, any pumping that's going to be part of a system and a connection, they want the system operator, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, to be inspecting it. And it boils back to booster pumps are not allowed on public water systems. and we have to have a waiver to use booster pumps for individual lots on public water systems. And since we're doing this waiver, the waiver is coming from us, not the lot owners. And so we're the ones who have to make sure it's working properly. Sorry, that was a very long answer to your clarification.
Actually, Bart, that was a very good answer. It was very informative, so thank you.
Okay.
All right, any other questions of Bart? I'll take the silence as a no.
You know, I do have a quick question in regards to you had made mention Kurt is going to be spearheading this project. So in this letter, is there anything indicating I know that we can't pinpoint a specific time, but a general time, and then he will be in contact with the lot owners as far as when we start construction. Is that correct?
Right. So I spoke to Kurt and he was concerned about, you know, how quickly do I have to contact them? I said, well, you need to contact them quickly. So contact them. You should be expecting something in the next few weeks. And that is just a kind of a touch base so that you can then coordinate for future, the details, you know, concerning your specific lot.
Correct. Okay. Good enough. I just think that we need to walk it and everything, but this is all will be discussed in that letter.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Kurt.
All right, this is Brent again. Any other questions? Okay, we're going to move on to brief report of each area of responsibility. Cade, you're up.
I have no updates from our last meeting.
Okay. Larry.
Okay, so real quickly, this last week I attended the Paunsagunt Landowners Association meeting for which Deer Springs participates in on the hunting unit, the mule deer hunting meeting. We're still kind of thrashing through the whole new set of rules that they've put on us. They, like we've already discussed with cabins, they're trying to be as cautious as possible because of the litigious nature of our society, where anybody and everybody wants to sue somebody if they drive on your land and twist their ankle or fall in a mud hole. I think I already explained to people that rather than just being required by the state to allow one landowner tag hunter and one general tag hunter, the new law beginning this year requires us as a landowner participating in that money pool to allow all eight of the landowner tags and all eight of the general – beginning it was all of the general tags, which is several – literally a couple hundred. And they finally rested on saying there's eight landowner tags and we will designate a matching number of eight – and they will be named who will have access, and they are given a requirement that they cannot access. It's not just totally 100 free at their discretion. They have to jump through several hoops and contact us prior to, and so I've got a whole new set of rules, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different rules they have to comply by. The long and the short for DSROA and our budget is the craziness that last year from 18 tags, they generated $780,000. They were able to share about 15 of that with us. That went into our budget. And this year from 8 tags, they've generated almost the same $700,000, which is absolutely ridiculous. But nonetheless, we stand to, again, enjoy budgetary-wise, we decided to cut our budget plan back a little bit. It's looking like we're not going to have to suffer such a loss. So I'm guessing we may still end up with something like $12,000 for our budget out of the mule deer but that's yet to be seen once everything's the final shakeout. Other things that I've been doing the last month, Bart mentioned about water, things that we're going to be doing in the future and this year to protect our water rights. I have already, just because that's kind of my therapy, if I have extra time and extra fuel, I have gone ahead and cleaned out and cleared out and repaired several of the catch basins and ditches. While I was out there kind of babysitting and shepherding the mowing and spraying operation of the rabbit brush, I spent time several different days for several different hours. And this year, for the first time in, I think, 11 years, the actual Half Moon Reservoir can hold water. And I say that, the actual reservoir, because right now I can guarantee you there aren't 10 people on the ranch that could identify on a map or physically in person where the Half Moon Reservoir is. Brent and Kurt now knows, but even Kurt didn't know. What you guys think is the Half Moon Reservoir is not and never has been the Half Moon Reservoir. But it will hold water now. I completed that just in the snowstorm Friday night, as Lewis Church was moving his two big tractors and mowers out in the snowstorm. I completed the repair on the dam so it would hold water. The Half Moon Reservoir has not held water for 11 years, which is not good for our water right argument. So this year it will hold water.
Did we need bentonite or anything like that there? Is there?
It would be nice to line some of that, but all of the reservoirs, all the catch basins on the ranch are just natural dirt, native soil. The biggest problem and concern is to put it in and compact it in such a way and then prevent any area that water can top over a dam or dike and begin to erode. Our soils are such that there's enough clay in the soils that most of them will hold water and self-seal with the silts. If we're in some of the gravel beds, if anybody knows where the hidden reservoir, if you don't, ask Vance Green or Brent or me. The hidden reservoir is a reservoir that has a gravel bottom, but we have spread clay around, so it does hold water, but if you dig it out too deep, it will drain out the bottom. The Half Moon Reservoir, most of those are just dirt, native clay, sand soils, and they may lose a little water, but they're not going to, you know, we don't have to line them with bentonite. Yesterday I drove all the way to the Crawford Pass because I wanted to inspect and see what had happened with the burning, the Forest Service burning their slash piles this past week. I don't know if anybody else has been up through there or checked on it, but they did burn, I believe, on Wednesday. It wasn't as successful as I would like to have seen it. I think due to the snow and moisture and cold, there are still quite a bit of large log piles that probably could have built two or three nice log homes instead of just being burned up. But nonetheless, as of yesterday, there were still a dozen piles that were smoldering, but no danger or chance of fire spreading as wet and snowy and covered as everything is. I don't think I've got anything else to add other than appreciate all those that have made some good effort physically on the ground and behind the scenes making reports and studying. I think it's what it's going to take for all of us to figure things out and try to make the ranch move forward as best we can. I do appreciate those that physically do something, even if it's behind the scenes in studying and understanding, rather than simply complaining, because no one person as a worker or a board member can really do. We all have more on our plates than we can possibly accomplish without multiple helpers. And that's the end of my story, Brent.
All right, well, thank you, Larry.
I've got two quick questions for Larry, hopefully. So, Larry, the tags and stuff, that way the So we're going to have 16 hunters potentially on DSR land this hunting season, right?
Well, real quick, just to better explain, there are 8 landowner tags. They have divided those into – those guys, potentially all 8 of them, can choose whatever hunt they want to hunt, archery, muzzleloader, rifle hunt. Those are the kind of guys that are, in all honesty, very likely not to ever be on Deer Springs. Most of those guys will be hunting elsewhere. Potentially one – I mean, each year I maybe get one of the big tags and guides that will contact me wanting access just as a kind of a fallback or safety net. So the ones that we're going to have on the ranch are going to be the 8 general population, general public tags. They are divided 2 in the archery hunt, 2 in the muzzleloader hunt, and 4 in the rifle hunt. So again, typically the archery hunters are going to be well north of us in the high country. The muzzleloader hunt, depending on the timing of the migration, they may be looking at the Deer Springs area, and most likely the rifle hunters will be after migration. And it all depends on where people have scouted and what kind of deer they've found. I get calls all the time from members and non-members alike saying, oh, I've seen the big deer. Well, I hate to say it, but most of you do not know what a big deer is. So the kind of people that are paying $75,000 to $250,000 to hunt one deer are not looking for the deer that you saw on Deer Springs Ranch, with the exception of one that's hiding on Michael Jordanson's lot, but don't tell anybody I said that. No, in all actuality, this complicates what I have to do to kind of police it a little bit and gather names and sign. I mean, they've got waiver forms and all kind of nonsense, which is something we obviously should be doing. But now there's multiple layers. There's one form from the state. There's one form from the Ponsonant Landowners Association. And then I've got one of our Deer Springs forms. So I will have to have multiple pieces of paper from every single person that even whether I grant them permission or not, I have to track all that and keep a record of it. But there's not a person that's supposed to be legally step foot on the private land without previously notifying and getting basically written permission. So we're still, you know, I don't see any big problems. It just is a little more hassle and headache.
Well, and they're limited to just the common areas, right? They're not on
– correct.
Lot owners, so okay.
Correct. In fact, this year I eliminated – in the past we had included all the common area, including the 4 lots, because that kind of got us a little more money mileage, so to speak. This year I did not submit – I eliminated the lot in Podunk, the lot in Slide Canyon, and the 2 lots in Crawford, simply because it gets people a little more off the beaten track and gets them wandering here, there, and everywhere. That being said, we always still will give preferential treatment to any Deer Springs Ranch member who happens to draw a tag. I don't think we have any members that are insane enough to pay for a tag. If we do, I have some oceanfront property in Arizona I want to sell you. But if anybody from the ranch draws a tag, we will definitely put them in the priority. These 8 people we cannot prevent, but there's specific language that they have to contact prior to the hunt. It's for the hunter only. We could prevent them from having a buddy or a friend or a neighbor or a guide. We do not have to allow those people. It's kind of a double-edged sword, that because if we treat them poorly and they go back and whine to the state, the state will shut down the whole unit, and we're going to have 165 neighbors that are saying, look, you just cut our throats and erased a $750,000 money pot. And so, you know, we can't be hateful neighbors, but we don't have to be walked on. We don't have to give up our private property rights. They have
thanks,
to,
I
they
think
have
that
to
answers
abide
it.
By the rules. Okay.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, Bart, anything else?
No, I think I covered it in my previous diet monologue.
Okay, thank you. Michael?
I have nothing to add, but I do have a couple of questions. Based on our votes, am I changing Firefly today so that the reservation goes up $15 for every unit today?
Yes. I think that's the whole point of raising it.
And you're leaving for 2 weeks, so I say we've got to get it done before you take off.
Well, that, no, that's why I'm asking. I can get that done, but there's going to be a conflict with what's on the website. I will not have time to update the rules and regs with the new rates before I leave. Can somebody else pick that up potentially, or?
All the rules and regs, the actual rules and regs have a lot of updates related to the charges and stuff that way, so we're kind of taking that in the committee. But the actual website where it's, where else are you?
On the website, it lists out, I believe, the price per night. And if it's, if they get a bill for $45 a night and it says $30 a night on the website, we're going to have a conflict.
When they make the reservation, does it show what their amount is?
It does.
I would risk it and say, let's change that. And then if somebody whines, then we try to talk rationally to them and let them understand.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we knew that there were going to be two different places that somebody could go back and say, well, I looked on the website and said this. And anyway.
In the actual cabin section, I've not seen it. There is values in the rules and regs. And we are looking at that as part of the analysis the bylaws committee is doing. So maybe we can at least get a recommended change for that for next meeting so that the board can approve it.
Okay.
I tell you what, as far as an informational thing, and it's going to be a request of Danielle, can she send an email blast informing the entire ranch of the change? That way, if they've all been emailed and informed, at least they has been some communication rather than surprise.
Just so you're all aware, in the time we've been discussing it, three new reservations have come in.
I have that on my to-do list already to send out that email back.
So, Kevin, I think, are you proposing to draft up an email? Or, because that's generally how we do it. Somebody drafts it and gives it to Danielle. Or, Danielle, you were talking. Did you say you've got one going? Or did I hear Danielle?
I mean, I can just draft up things, you know. It went up by $15. Here are the new rates. I kind of played out as of today going forward.
And that $15 is on each one, the standard rate, the extended rate, and I know I'm not opening this can of worms, but the non-member rate as well. All of them are going up $15.
I know that wasn't ever discussed, but might as well.
I think as a minimum, that's what we're doing.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on my response because it's an action item that I need to do. I just want to make sure I'm clear before I just go do it. And anyway, that's it. I'm good. I will update those as soon as we're done here. And I have nothing further than that.
Okay. Scott, do you have anything?
Just want to thank all those involved with getting the rabbit brush. Larry and Kurt and all the others, you know, even Kevin Ballard and his son Clancy and Norris Church. I appreciate all their efforts. I appreciate the cabin committee and all the work they've put into it and all the work that they're going to continue to do, it sounds like, as well as Cade and the biz committee on the bylaws. I mean, if you understand all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, it's just amazing how much, you know, that we don't sometimes realize. Anyway, that's all I have. And you too.
All right, Scott.
And Brent, you also. I appreciate all the work you do that helped with that and everything else. I want you to know that. So thanks.
Well, thanks. Again. We didn't have a casualty besides Norris's brush hog. My 750-gallon water tank split on one of the seams. So I got to try to figure out a way to fix that, but no biggie. Kevin, you're up.
Just to keep this short, some of the things that in the update that might have been missed earlier, Larry and I have discussed cabin one, and I want to give a special thanks to Larry for volunteering time and money to go into the repairs of cabin one so we can keep it online this season. I want to thank once again all the people on the cabin committee. I don't want that to be a thankless job or even to allow the impression that the work is not appreciated. It is appreciated. I would hope that the input will be coalesced into what we're doing. Karen, I love your idea of somehow a volunteer fee to help out, because the money that we can raise from the increase in dues is not going to cover everything we need to do. There's a lot more to be done. Dan, thank you once again for all of your hard work and input. A shout out once again to you for volunteering not just your time, but also your physical abilities and your finances and helping with Cabin 6 and the other items going on. And beyond that, I don't have much to report. I think Brent already covered the electrical repair that needed to be done that has obviously been held up by the weather. So I think that pretty much covers it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. All right, it's an open forum. Now, before anybody starts to talk, I am 30 minutes over my time limit as far as my agenda I set. So keep that in mind. So anyone who has anything else, bring it up.
Well, I guess I do. It's Dan Wirt here. I'd like to thank Larry Clarkson for your management of the hunting. It really it's a great contribution and it's very important. So the only other thing is I'd like to make it clear that nothing I have said on either Facebook group or in this meeting or in any other board meeting should be construed as me representing the cabin committee. So nothing I have said is not me representing the cabin committee. It's me representing my own work. And it remains to be seen what recommendations, either pro or con, are made in any final cabin committee recommendations. One other thing, all of today's proceedings should not be construed as a free-for-all. That comment was made. I think that is inaccurate. This is not a military organization. This is a member-driven organization. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Well, Brent, I'm going to defend myself. That is not actually – that was Robert's Rules of Orders, any standard board thing. Once you do – I made that comment because – we had made a motion, made a second, and then we were discussing it as the voting members. We'd already had a previous discussion that had gone on for a very long time. So it's not a standard board procedure and meeting procedure.
This should not be construed to those standards. This should be we may not have a democracy in Washington D.C., but we can have a reasonable democracy here. And I don't give a rat's ass about Robert's rules of order.
Is that it, Dan?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
I did an apology to Dan in the chat, but I wanted to apologize again. I do think that following some sort of order like Robert's Rules of Order might prevent some of the cantankerous nature of things, but that we can agree to disagree on that one. But sorry, Dan, I shouldn't have got as out of control as I was in our conversation. I apologize.
I thought it was pretty clear we were working under Brent's Rules of Order, and that's pretty free-for-all. So, anyway, anybody else got any comments?
Well, thank you, Brent. Thank you, Brent. Brent Fuhrer, Storm Group, and Brent Fuhrer.
Well, I would just like to say that it's 1 o'clock. We've been in a meeting for 3 hours, and we've got a lot of us have things to do in the day. Some people may not, but a lot of us do. So that's why it'd be nice to make sure that in the future we proceed in a succinct, you know, quicker pace, hopefully. Anyways, that's my comments on that. I understand we need deep discussion, but it's already 1 o'clock.
This is Larry, and I think I'm probably at fault for causing part of the confusion simply because I hate to have meeting after meeting after meeting and feel like I accomplished nothing, because I have something I could do every day of the year for the next 20 years. I don't want to waste time in a meeting. I want to accomplish something and move on first. And so I think I maybe pushed harder today to get some decision made that maybe most of us weren't really prepared or knew ahead of time that that's what we were coming to do. Apologize for that. Secondly, I'm not 100% clear on the right order, and I know that once a proposal or a motion has been made and it's seconded, then we're supposed to vote. I'm the one that derailed that by simply saying, before I vote, I need a little clarification on a couple other things. And so I think I derailed this. I apologize. I'll try to be better in the future, but I make no promises.
Okay, Brent, I have one thing, too. As a secretary, when that goes on and everybody's talking over each other and back and forth, it's really hard to get that all down in the minute. So I do just generalize a lot of time, very much so, because it's just almost impossible to sort all that stuff out. And if we had more of an order, it would be a lot more easy to do that. So,
Scott, you have a thankless job, Scott, and I'm glad it's you and not me.
And my standard response is, this affects Brent Howe, Scott. Anyway,
just bringing that up, just so everybody has a beef with me when they don't get their little thing put in the minutes. That's why. So,
okay, we'll forgive you. Anything else? Because if not, I want to adjourn this and I make a motion that we do.
I second it.
Let's verify our timing and location for the next meeting. February is probably still going to be a snow covered.
Good point. All right.
It's on the agenda. Yeah. Right. For the 10th?
It should be February 10th at 10 o'clock. Zoom meeting.
Concur.
Do we want to tentatively set an executive session based on Scott's information on the NRCS program?
Yes.
Maybe just absolutely.
Let's plan on that absolutely. If we can possibly have it before that, that would be great. But if nothing else, we'll do it on the 10th.
Okay. I think it's critical that we move quickly on some of these things because they get delayed longer and longer and longer. And I know, you know, guys like Norris is waiting on a paycheck. And I understand that Brad being out of the country delayed some of that, but it's frustrating when you got six or seven or eight people that are bending over backwards and digging into their lives and their schedules. And Scott gave up days at work, and Kevin Ballard gave up days, and Norris delayed us, but actually finally got out there. And now we need to move it forward and conclude it and be able to say this is done, and we're not ever going to do that again, at least in that way.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you intervened before the patient died.
We've got some good paddles. Energized, clear.
Okay, Brent made the motion. Who seconded it?
I'll second.
Okay, Larry seconded it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.